This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, our engineer friend David Stone has been a little dispassionate here. Can we talk about personal experiences? Do you have any?
No, I actually do. I've got two of note. One I've already talked about. That was with Meg. The other one happened a number of years ago. So you can believe this if you don't or not. I don't actually care. Because that's what I say to people.
Oh, come on. Everybody cares. We don't want to tell a story where everybody goes, no.
So I'll set the scene. It is summertime here in Canterbury, which is your wintertime up there. I've come home from work, worked late on a production. I'm at home in Christchurch for once, watering the garden. It's about 1 a.m. in the morning. And I'm just sort of staring up at the sky, having a cigarette, as I do. And lo and behold, I see something. The only way, what I did to a friend of mine recently, I described it as more like the Douglas Adams quote. It hung in the air exactly the way bricks don't. It was a cylinder object, I don't know, massive. I can't really put my head in it, around it. Very, very high, completely gunmetal gray, no lights, no sound, a very faint green glow under the underside of it. Apparently, according to Meg, because I dropped the hose and just walked inside and said, pour me a drink. Because what do you do when you start? I should have gone and got a camera, but the fact is it just walked
inside. Yeah, or some binoculars or something.
No. You see, this is a thing, and I think this is what happens to a lot of people. They'll see something like that, and it's just so out of the ordinary. You're in a state of shock to an extent. Here I am. I'm into UFOs in a very big way, and in the paranormal. For me, seeing something, an object of that size, I looked in and go, nah, I didn't see that, and just walked inside. Because your mind, I don't think, is prepared for it. And maybe the consciousness and the paranormal is something maybe I should post on there about what happens. I think a lot of times people who actually see, have UFO encounters, don't know how to cognate it. Are we actually seeing what we're seeing? Is your mind filling in blanks in some other way to try and help understand what you are seeing? And this is what I've wrestled with ever since that particular sighting. Yes. I don't know.
to get a better picture of this sighting, then, well, you know, was it as large as, say, a quarter at arm's length, or in terms of size, how would you describe it in those terms?
I would say, in front of my desk here, is a vivid pen held up at large at arm's length.
Like a writing tool.
Yeah, like a writing tool, hold it up at arm's length.
It's about 5 inches. Okay. Okay, wow. Something like that, if it were a jet, like a large jet, that would be within a few thousand feet of you.
Sitting up at around about 11 o'clock, and if I remember rightly, it was sitting on toward southeastern horizon. Southeastern horizon, correct? Southeastern horizon. I've actually got it written down here, so I wrote the stuff down. I would say it was probably up at a few thousand feet. It was definitely above the cloud layer, and it wasn't moving very fast. The whole sighting lasted maybe 30 seconds, and it just ceased to exist. So it was there, and then it wasn't.
Oh. Okay.
No. So that's different. You've got to ask yourself about that. Did I actually see what I saw? And I do actually, you've got to sort of self-check yourself when you see stuff like this and go, well, did I actually see that? Or have I seen something else and my brain's filled in the blanks? Or
A stimulus response comes from photons that come from outside your eyes into your optical nerve and then into your brain. It's not, hallucinations are very, very rare. This is one of these things that really drives me nuts with the skeptics, mm-hmm. where they say people have false memories and false perceptions and everything else. But you can flip that around and go, actually, memory is amazing with people too. And when people see things, it's usually because there's something there. That's how we've evolved. We've evolved to be detectors of optical wavelengths. So chances are you weren't just making this up. You did see something.
Now, something interesting for you. Now, I try and find the case, but there was a case here in Canterbury around about the same time as somebody seeing an object very similar down at low altitude. It was a security guard out checking in one of the farm buildings outside of the city, and he got quite ill because of it, and I can't find the damn case on UFocus New Zealand. Because at the time I thought, well, this is a large object. I cannot be the only person who's seen this. See what I mean?
So yeah,
you go and look for that sort of thing. So you're trying to find and see, okay, can I cross-reference it with other people? And, you know, that's the engineer's brain of mine kicking around and going, how can I confirm this? How can I back this up? Never really been able to. But if you ever talk to Meg, did she say, I look like I'd seen a ghost. I was completely white. Sounded as though I wanted to give me a drink. I want to sit down and try not to think about it. Maybe because I was such, and I have been quite a skeptic with UFOs for so long, largely because I think a lot of it could be attributed to natural phenomenon and just misidentified aircraft, and et cetera, et cetera. But maybe that isn't what we're really interested in. And as I said before, you know, it's not the 99% of cases that could be proven to be natural. It's that 1% at the other end you just cannot give an explanation for. And for me, I can't give any explanation for that. I don't know what it is. Unless humanity's flying around in large cylinders that are completely gunmetal gray, that make no sound and disappear, I'm not sure that's ours.
Although, you know, of course, here we go, Mr. Skeptic. It's like, all right, this is okay, we think large sort of cylindrical object, blimp, right? Okay, so it's gunmetal gray, but could we have some sort of cloaking technology now? Could it be coated with something that could make it blend into the sky so that it can't be seen now? And you know what? With our technology now, how do we know they weren't just flying some blimp that was supposed to be some sort of clandestine observation, a spy blimp or something, you know, testing some kind of spy blimp?
And I've actually thought of that myself. I think there's a possibility. Yeah, the only thing is, in New Zealand, if you know anything about aviation here, there are absolutely no blimps in this country. We don't have them. We do have hot air balloons, having been up on one, but we don't have anything of that size. Maybe out of Pine Gap, Australia, possibly. Mm-hmm. It's not that far away from here, and they do fly drones out from there, so that's entirely possible. I guess I suspect most people know what Pine Gap is, if not, look it up. But it's interesting. It's a top secret facility in the middle of Australia, literally in the middle of nowhere.
Like Australia's Area 51, sort of.
Yeah, pretty
but
much.
More of a listening post. With they keep in touch with a lot of the satellites and orbital. It's basically a super high-tech spy station.
It's also part of Five Eyes. We have a part of it over here in Blenheim called Waihopai, which is part of it as well. That's the northern part of the South Island where I live on the East Coast. It actually makes you kind of think or remember about the whole airship flap that New Zealand experienced. I think the dates of that, I remember rightly, it was around about the 1909, my notes here. So it kind of reminded me something of that as well. It's sort of there was a period, if there's people who don't know the airship flap, of around between, I think it was 1918-something and 1913, I think it's when it finally died out. I don't remember off the top of my head. But there was quite an extensive series of sightings here in New Zealand, right up and down the east coast here. And as far away as up toward Auckland, before it moved along to Australia, and then the sightings began there. The interesting thing about that is back in around that time period, in 1909, there were no dirigible craft here in New Zealand at all. There were no aircraft either. I mean, it was literally, it must have surprised the heck out of people. There were groups of people who were trying to say, well, this could quite possibly be some backyard inventor. That did get ruled out in the end. So to this date, like the rest of the world, nobody really truly knows what this whole sort of incident actually was. But it certainly well documented in our local newspapers from the time. You can look up in Otago Daily Times and stuff like that if you ever actually want to have a look yourself. There's quite a lot of documentation on it. So, I don't know. What do you think, Randall, the whole sort of airship thing? Because, yeah, I think you kind of hit on something there. It is what I've actually seen. Is it just an airship? I would ear toward human technology. I don't like, as I said earlier, I don't like jumping into the alien hypothesis.
We're going to end that at a hypothesis. More to come with Gene Randall David. I'm forgetting my names. I don't know. Gene Randall David, you're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going
to
stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350350. That's DO88 to 350350 to schedule your free consultation today.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
All right, we're here putting the universe together in a tiny little bow with Gene, Randall, David. No, we're not doing that, are we?
No, wouldn't it be nice if, well, I don't know, maybe it's mysteries that make life interesting. Talking about airships, okay, so before the break we were talking about strange flying objects. And, of course, that's what UFOs have always been. They seem to be something from outside, beyond the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization at the time. It's really interesting the way you described UFOs before the break. You know, if it's something, I don't know what else you could call it, because it's not like anything else we know of, or that we could even perhaps make. And actually, that's what the USAF defined them as. So it's, they're not simply, they're not just simply, well, it's a vague light off in the distance. These are like what you say. You look at something and you go, you've got enough information to say if it was an airplane, because you can see that this cylinder that you saw, it had no wings, for example. Mm-hmm. Right? It didn't look like an aircraft. You saw it clear enough, and you were going, well, I don't know what it could have been. And you have just about all the information that you know. Maybe, you know, if we stretch it, make it into a stretch and say, well, the Air Force has some secret spy blimp or something, that might be an explanation. But it's always something that is highly out of the ordinary and unexplainable, very unusual. And the airships back in those days were just like that.
Absolutely. Interesting how they described them as airships. They're trying to describe them with what technology they knew at the time. And so we're trying to do the same thing here. Like, is it a modern blimp? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We don't know. I've got no idea.
Right. If you had seen it all of a sudden accelerate off and zigzag across the sky at, you know, 400 miles an hour, we'd be going, no blimp.
Like the guys in the Argosy aircraft over Kokoda here on the East Coast who saw the series of lights that were following them and coming in close and disappearing. There's video of it online. The pilot and people on board were absolutely certain this wasn't an aircraft. They didn't know what it was.
Hmm. You've got some really interesting waters down there. I mean, I think it was Timothy Good wrote in Alien Base. There's people who say, well, you know, they think there's an underwater UFO base somewhere off the coast of the North Island down there.
Actually, off the coast of Kokoda, off the coast of the east coast of the South Island, not far from where I am in Pegasus Bay.
Well, that's interesting because I'm actually looking right now at an article that says the North Island.
So, I mean, there's a number of them.
All over the place. Who knows?
I mean, I've heard stories from guys who do fishing up along the East Coast have said some stuff. I know one story, and I'll leave their names out of it, people I know. They're out fishing very late at night, and more the early hours in the morning they went out. It's not far from Kokoda. It's a little bit south. It's in the Kokoda Trench. So the Chatham's Rise, which goes all the way out to Chatham Islands. They started to see a light underneath their boat getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and it went straight underneath them. What would you call that? Is it a submarine? No idea, because it was moving too fast. It went past them very quickly. The hypothesis, we've no idea what the hell it is. I mean, that's kind of seemed to me sounds like your classic USO, that submerged object type thing. There are some other sort of stories that come up from along the coastline there of people seeing a lot of stuff up toward Waikare, Pyramid Valley, that's heading up toward Lewis Pass in South Island. There's been a lot of sightings up through there as well. So it's supposed to be something about the east coast of the South Island. It seems to get a lot of UFO sightings. Of course, a lot of the time you get people who sort of put stuff on local Facebook and go, I saw this big light go over the sky, you know, and you go, well, yes, that's the ISS. It goes over quite regularly. So you do get this misidentified stuff happening. Try to refer people to looking at maps of satellites and bits and pieces. You can actually see a lot of these satellites go over and say, yes, if it's moving steadily across the sky, it's very high altitude, it doesn't deviate, it's very likely a satellite. Just carry on, you know. You've seen a satellite, you've seen the ISS, etc. It's the ones that do like they did to you, Randall, whereupon they stop. That's the stuff you should take off.
Changing direction would be one thing. You know, in an arc, that might be explainable. The ones that shoot off at a high angle, that's harder to explain. But at least it's moving up there. To just stop?
Yeah.
That's a little different, because to be in orbit, you have to be going really, really fast.
Yes, you do.
So
you just don't go from that to geostationary orbit. You just don't do that.
You just don't stop and then just hang there. It just, so for me, that was a very, very curious one. But you've got a couple of UFO investigative groups down there in New Zealand, I believe.
Yeah, we do. I don't have anything to actually do with those groups. I do stuff on my own. I've never been invited either. That was because I've kept myself kind of quiet and just and read and research stuff myself. And I discovered the Paracast a long time ago and member of the forum, so I tended just to come here to discuss stuff anyway. I've been invited to a couple of groups on Facebook where I'm, you know, a watch and listen. I tend to be seen as kind of overtly skeptical. And so, well, I'm not overtly skeptical. I just don't let my brain fall out with the next light that somebody posts on the badly filmed off an iPhone camera. I mean, you know, seriously, show me something that is a little bit more interesting. As I said earlier on, I'm not so interested in the film of your lights in the sky. I'm more interested in how you people reacted. How are you coping with this? The more the human angle of it. I think a lot of time that is missed out, how people actually do cope psychologically with the situation is completely out of the norm. And a lot of time, also, I think there's a lot of people, as I've said before, they hoax. They're just doing it for attention. They're doing it to muddy waters to do sort of the whole sort of, you know, we fooled you into thinking there's little green men. So you get that as well. Mainly because it's one of the reasons why I tend to stay away from a lot of so-called UFO groups. I think a lot of people end up in those groups because they're true believers. They truly want to believe, oh, there is aliens visitors. We don't know that. Is it possible? Yes, it's a very large universe, but we don't know that. So stop letting your brains drip out your ears, people. Step back and take a good look first. There you go.
What's your take on the contactees? Because apparently that's still going on.
I don't know. I don't really have a huge opinion on it then. I sometimes wonder if these are people that are either psychologically disturbed or are attention-seeking or looking for a way to make some money out of it. You know, you could ask the question, you know, if there's an alien species that's traveled billions of light years, why are they going to contact somebody living in a trailer park in the middle of nowhere? You've got to ask that question. No, I don't think so.
Let's not insult people living in trailer parks in the middle of nowhere. They might be perfectly good people.
Yeah.
They might be very smart, very street smart. And maybe E.T. would rather see the average or the less than average Earthling rather than the superior ones, because the superior ones might fight back. That's ridiculous. We got more of Gene Randall and David. You're in the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Trump administration declared a public health emergency over the coronavirus outbreak. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says officials are taking steps to help reduce the spread of the disease here in the U.S.
Any U.S. citizen returning to the United States who has been in Hubei province in the previous 14 days will be subject to up to 14 days of mandatory quarantine to ensure they are provided proper medical care and health screening.
The Trump administration on Friday expanded its travel ban to include restricting visas for an additional 6 countries. The proclamation bans people from Eritrea, Kyrgyzstan, Myanmar, and Nigeria from receiving immigrant visas and suspends the visa lottery for people from Sudan and Tanzania. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Of course, you're voicing the common complaint about contactees, David, that they never contact anyone who has any prominence. Well, Whitley Strieber, he was a famous author before he had his abduction experiences, so we have to account for that.
Well, down there, you've got something called UFocus.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And so we had Susan Hansen on from their group, and she was coming across as very sort of middle-of-the-road kind of UFO investigator. And then she got into the contactee thing where she claimed that she's actually been on the ships, listened to people lecture, and met other people from other countries on the ships. And I would say, well, you know, if you were having some kind of conference on a mothership, like, what happened? Didn't anybody take a cell phone picture? You know?
Perfect. Oh, couldn't you connect up later on and talk to each other, you know, and corroborate it? No, I just don't think that's...
Well, that's the funny thing. We got into that, and she said that she had heard of someone who was able to do that. And since then, we've actually, and I haven't been able to verify it, of course, but we've heard that more than once now. Gene, I think, do you remember who it was that said that that had actually taken place where they got someone's name and were able to connect up afterwards and say, hey, remember, I met you on this ship?
That was a book that was written by Kathleen Martin. And I'm looking up the co-author. That's where they talked about. That's where it gets to be pretty weird. There.
Yeah, like that, if that's true.
Denise Stoner was the name of the woman. She was on the show, too. And when you hear that, you got to wonder, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. How does that work? You know, if you're exchanging business cards and then you know, one's from California and the other one's from New Zealand, and if you wake up the next day with a business card from someone from New Zealand, if we could believe the story, right?
Yeah, if you can believe the story, it's worth looking at. Though, how do you actually sort of fully corroborated as not having been sort of, I don't say to use the word hoax, but sort of set up in that, I don't know. Yeah, I tend to stay away from the whole contactee thing because I probably upset thing. I'm just upset everybody in trailer parks around the world. So
that was actually it's okay if you offend the UFO believers. Just don't offend the people in trailer parks. Yeah, that was like priceless, Gene. Definitely.
Yeah, it's me at that time.
Anyway, you know, it's all in good humor here. Like, I think it's important not to take ourselves too seriously all of the time. I'm notorious for being serious about it and getting serious about it, but you got to be able to back off too. Mm-hmm. And the cultural aspect of it is actually really probably the biggest part of it. So,
Absolutely. You know,
if it wasn't for that, what would there be? There'd be a few people who claim to take it seriously here and there, and there really wouldn't be much to it.
I mean, a question for you is, like, does the whole contactee thing, does it have a propensity to become semi sort of cult-like in some respects, or upon this sort of, like, a cult of personality around develops around them? That would actually worry me about that sort of thing. Oh, this person's had contact with aliens, so they've got the answers. You know what I mean? I'm going with that.
Yeah, self-proclaimed galactic ambassadors, whether it's Ray-El or Stephen Greer or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. And it doesn't help our cause. It really does sort of, but again, more sort of mess in the water, muddying things up and making, you know, good excuses for the media to go kooky UFO people. It does worry me. It's why one of the reasons why I sort of tend to stay away from the whole sort of contactee topic. I have a little bit of knowledge about it, but I stay away from it, essentially.
Well, that's why another one of the guests that we had on, in the last year, Katina Kyle is doing the UFO conferences now as well. She also does a show, and her next conference coming up this year, she's wanting to have people who are serious, a smaller conference, not a big, large one with all the bells and whistles and paraphernalia, but people who are seriously minded about it to get together and try to put something together in a more serious fashion. And I think we really do need that.
Yeah, we do. So you're going to ask you another question, actually. It's something I was actually, I've always kind of wanted to ask, and I should have put it up on the forums. Travis Walton, do you believe him or not?
No. Well, I know our previous co-host, Christopher O'Brien, would stick up for him, but personally, I think that there is too much questionable circumstances around, not the least of which that he failed the lie detector test then he allegedly passed it, but we now know that was only after he gave them specific questions he would answer and no other ones. And then he failed the big one on Moment of Truth, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And every time someone says, well, he had nothing to gain. Well, he did actually. There was a reward by the National Enquirer. He came out with some money from that, and then he's had book deals, and maybe he hasn't gotten rich, but he has gotten famous.
Yeah,
and he has made something of it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. There's people who say they actually know where he was at the time of his disappearance. So. Then there's the whole issue of the payroll checks that, you know, he has. And this is a long time ago with him. So I don't like to bring it up with people who've already sort of paid their dues and done. But I mean, if you go back in time to when it happened and you look at the historical climate of the times and what was going on at the time, well, I mean, would you believe someone who had just taken a bunch of payroll checks and forged their name on them to cash them in? If they came up to you the next week and said, hey, I saw a UFO, will you give me the reward from a National Enquirer? I mean, would anybody? I would you write him a check? I don't know.
No.
That's just how I look at it. And maybe that's not fair. And forgive me for if that's what it seems like, but that's my personal take on the whole issue of the Walton case.
And very much the same for me. There are too many inconsistencies. There's things that make little alarm bells go off in my brain, pretty much the same things as you've said, and I go, you believe it if you want to, but I sort of don't. That's concerned. And, you know, but again, that whole abductee thing, contactee, abductees, how much of it do you believe? Are there actual cases that have got some real veracity to them? I mean, because I know the Travis Walton one was sort of bounced around as being, you know, a definitive case for so long. When you start to look at it, as you've just shown, it's like there's actually holes in here. There are problems with this.
Major holes. But then again, maybe he's one. Maybe it's like a you know, the boy who cried wolf kind of thing. Just, you know, real events can happen to people who don't have credibility. Just because there's holes in his credibility doesn't mean that it necessarily didn't happen. It still could have happened. So I'm not going to be the one to say that it didn't happen. I'm just saying, well, you know, given what else we know about the whole situation, it's not the highest case of reliability, I don't think.
No, gray area. I would probably lean toward more the, you know, don't think it happened, but just me going out on a limb. I'll be honest about it. Okay, let's leave it in the gray area. The question is, are there abductee cases that have got some actual true veracity to them? That you go, okay, yeah, I think something actually did happen to this person. I don't really know of any myself, to be honest with you.
What about Pascagoula, Mississippi? Now, we've had Calvin Parker on the Paracast a couple of times. When he was young, he didn't go out promoting that case. He wanted to get as far away as possible. So there may be a sense of credibility there. Or we can also be cynical and say he's late in his life and he wanted to make a few bucks from it. We've got one more segment with David Stone, Gene Hen Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called
instantly ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, Dixon and Parker. Mr. Parker's been on the show a couple of times. Have you heard him, David?
I must have. I'm sure I have. But I will say no right now because I can't definitively say to you. And I've got to be truthful with things, Gene.
It happens to me, too. I mean, we've interviewed a number of people, and I don't recall everything. And once in a while, Gene will mention something, and then I feel all embarrassed because it's like, I should know this. Actually, when we were interviewing Calvin, he came across as very personable and quite genuine. He didn't come across to me as someone who was trying to pull one over on us. How about you, Gene? How did you feel about that interview?
I've had some email exchanges with him after that, where he talked about a couple of personal things. He sounds sincere. He seems to be an individual who did have something weird happen. Now, I understand when they were first being interviewed by the police, they listened in on them, left them alone to see if there was anything there that would indicate they're making it up.
Yes, I remember this now.
I would say the guy's sincere. Something probably happened to him. Was it being abducted by aliens? Who knows?
Well, the other thing, too, is there's too many cases of it to just write it off. One thing I would say is something weird is going on. And for me, this goes all the way back to, well, basically, Bud Hopkins was the one who really brought it to the forefront for me with the book Missing Time. And, you know, there's people who will diss on Bud Hopkins, but actually I think he was a pretty good researcher in his own way. This phenomena of missing time does seem to be something real. Whether the experiences he was able to evoke from people were entirely accurate or not, how do you account for these experiences of missing time and then a whole bunch of similarities in their stories? Because in many cases, these people had these experiences before they ever met him. They just found out about him. And in some cases, they claim to have seen some sort of strange craft prior to the missing time, before they went unconscious. So when you've got a combination of a sighting that is consciously remembered, and then a whole bunch of missing time, you know, your car is suddenly no longer where it was. You've got 3 or 4 hours that go by, and you wonder what that thing in the sky you do remember was before that happened. And I think that's a mystery that deserves some attention.
I also wonder here, we also should criticize or comment upon the hypnotic techniques of these investigators and whether they seem to attract cases that fit in with their worldview. Is it because that's the way it is? People tend to contact them. Is it because their hypnotic regression techniques are flawed? And I've had my qualms about Dr. David Jacobs, who was on the Paracast with me and Chris, and he got kind of upset with us towards the end of the show.
Yeah, suggesting or basically leading, and it was not, I don't think it may be intentional in a lot of ways, but I think a lot of these hypnotic techniques, they end up suggesting or leading the so-called witness or abductee into giving information that basically they were requiring or wanting. That's one of my major issues with that. So other than they've seen, have some missing time, they may have seen a strange light in the sky. A lot of ways, that's about as far as you can go with it. I mean, the moment you start getting into sort of hypnotic therapy and regression, you know, are you just end up suggesting to this person something that you actually want to have them say anyway? That's where I come on it anyway. And I'm sure a lot of us actually do have that sort of similar opinion on it.
Now, one thing Dr. Jacobs said on the Paracast the last time he was on, you can search our archives on the site, theparacast.com. He said there are no leading questions when we talk to him about it. Okay, red flags went up after I heard that.
What exactly did he mean by that?
Just the mere statement is certainly enough to make you wonder.
The mere situation that they're asking questions to somebody in a hypnotic trance is leading questions. Come on. You know, these people are in a situation whereupon they can be very easily influenced in remembering stuff that never actually happened to them. It's entirely possible. And what veracity and what way you can, just because you've put somebody under hypnosis and you've asked them these questions and they say some stuff that you really want to hear, there's still no veracity there to say, well, any of this actually ever happened. Sorry to play devil's advocate, but in the end, how useful is this information?
You could look at it that way and say, well, okay, maybe what he means by that is, you know, asking the question, well, did you see a UFO, is just as valid as any other question, because we don't really know exactly what it was the person saw, right? I mean, I don't know for sure. But then there are people, though, who say, no, assisted memory recall using some of these techniques has had great success in other areas. You know, say someone has forgotten a part of their life in the past, say maybe where they lived or maybe have lost something, then they have been able to have success in people remembering where these things are. So why shouldn't it be applicable to a UFO experience? Just because it's something that's out of the ordinary for us doesn't mean it didn't happen to them. So maybe they are remembering actual things.
Yeah, maybe. So not to go off into a tangent here, but is somebody who's became an educator. We do look into cognitive, I'm no psychologist by any stretch of the imagination. We do look at how people learn, like cognition, how the mind works. You know, it does concern me that these people are just being suggestive because of the way our brain actually works, especially when we're in a vulnerable state. Because one of the things as an educator you're taught is how long to teach somebody, how to approach it, how much of what type of information you should be teaching, well, what length of time, and how memory actually physically works. After 20 minutes, your brain starts to disgorge and get rid of information that you've already just learnt. So you shouldn't really sort of, well, we're taught not to push a class for too long. It does worry me, like, how do these people actually remember this stuff? I have a hard time trying to find my own keys some days, let alone remember what happened to me 35 years ago. You know what I mean?
I did an article for the Paracast newsletter, and I was trying to remember things about my childhood, and it's really scattered. There's very little of my childhood that I remember. I remember myself in a crib. And I don't know what kind of awareness I have at the time, except I was unhappy. I remember taking several boxes of clay and creating a figure that I stuck on the wall with a long snake-like appendage to it. Today, it looked like maybe it was an ET or something, a gray alien. This is when I was 9 or 10 years old. My parents tolerated it for a few days. And then one day I came home from school, and it was gone. I didn't ask.
Okay, let me ask both of you guys. This is a yes or no question. You guys probably don't live in the same houses that you did when you were children. Do you remember where they are and what the address was? And could you get there today if you had to without a map?
Yes.
Absolutely. I can give you the address. 102 Newport Street, Brooklyn, New York.
Cool. Well, this was really awesome. Thanks for coming on the show, David.
Oh, you're welcome. I really enjoyed it. It was quite a lot of fun. Comes up again, I'll be happy to pop on with people and have a chat.
Do you have a website or something we can check?
No, not these days. If you want to catch up with me, just message me on the Paracast forum. I'm happy to chat to anybody anytime, so just hit me up there.
What about your band if they want to hire you?
If I want to hire us, well, you want to check out A Trick of the Light, A Trick of the Light on Facebook, New Zealand group, and that's where we operate from. Because we do all our bookings, bits and pieces, and tour preparation off that. So that's about the best place to look up. And I can post it up on the Paracast on forum anyway for everybody.
Hey, guys, you can also find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook, two communities or a group in a community or something of the other. Look at the Paracast.shop, Paracast.shop, the Paracast.shop. And that's where you can get branded merchandise, four different logos, shirts, and throw pillows, and all sorts of stuff. Check it out, theparacast.shop. Or also, if you want, visit theparacast.plus. We got all these crazy domain names now. And we offer a version of the show free of the network ads, the fabulous After the Paracast podcast. We never know what's going to happen next, and we don't either. That's what makes it interesting. All for prices starting at just $1.50 a week, $5 a month, etc. For more information, go to theparacast.plus. David Stone, we loved it. We're going to have you back. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.